Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hour three of In This League. The greatest, most wonderful fantasy show that sometimes doesn't talk fantasy for a whole hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 3 hours of sports goodness from possibly three guys that you love or tolerate. Whatever it is, we are here for you on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. If you miss any of it, go listen on demand. We have had a eventful conversation from Josh Hader's tweets to Jimmy Garoppolo's dating habits to sleepers, then who cares about ESPN anymore, and all of that stuff. It's all intertwined in 2 hours of it.
I got the best stuff.
All the greatest stuff. Hey, Bogman, I got a question for you, though.
Uh-oh.
Would you bake a cake without a recipe?
No, I would not.
Would you go to trial for public urination without a lawyer?
Why is that specifically the thing that you mentioned about that?
Not just because it's on the copy here, but I would ask you, then why would you go into your fantasy football draft without the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package? Well, we have a Fantasy Hall of Famer and the number one overall fantasy football expert on staff, writing articles, compiling rankings, projecting the 2018 stats, and answering your pre-draft questions. This company right here has been nominated for over 60 fantasy industry awards in the last 3 years. We are here to help you. Go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER to get 10% off. And give us the honor of leading you to fantasy glory with the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Get it.
And like,
get it.
Don't get arrested for public urination, too.
I don't know why you brought that.
It's right there. Second sentence in the copy.
Just, I got a really embarrassing story about that. Possibly.
You got the one where you're like half passed out, peeing on a tree, and you turn over and there's a whole party on a balcony just staring at you.
Yep. That's the story.
I don't think I have any little straight edge on stuff. Never been arrested. I got close once. You were there for it.
Never had handcuffs on?
No, never. I mean, I've had handcuffs on, but not from a police officer.
Whoa. So, okay.
But no, the closest I ever got was, remember the time I like lost my mind and almost got in a fight? And I think I said I was born in 1989 to the police officer, which would have made me 12, I think.
You said 1989 and it was 2002. So,
and I was born in 83 and
which would have made you 12. So, yeah, you know,
yeah. And it didn't do anything. I was pretty worked up.
No, yeah. I don't know.
Pretty drunk.
Okay.
Too.
I mean, I'll leave it alone.
I had freshly shaved my head like an hour before because
was wild turkey involved. It was a whole thing.
Yeah,
so.
The whole thing. Was it wild turkey? Might have been.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I don't like it anymore, too. All right. So, again, get the Roto Experts package to win your fantasy football. Don't pee in public. Those are two great pieces of advice that we give you right at the top of this episode. We're going to talk fantasy football in the next 2 segments, so we are going to help you not pee in public and win your fantasy football championships. But I want to talk about the biggest piece of news that went over the last week in the baseball world, and it was Manny Wood, because that's annoying now. Manny Machado officially became a Dodger. It's stupid. The Dodgers are dumb. And he made his debut hitting two for three with two walks, by the way, in his first go at it. Pretty dumb.
On base 4 times in his first game. That's pretty solid, Cotton.
You know what's interesting, too, about the team? Like, I'm looking at the box score. It's kind of funny because it's like the Brewers lineup almost just on a glance looks better than the Dodgers. Because the Dodgers don't have sexy names, but every single one of them are producing. Because they've got, you know, Max Muncy was batting 3. Matt Kemp is 4. They've got Cody Bellinger down at 6. It's not a sexy lineup. But those dudes just produce, and they just threw Manny Machado into that role to be the superstar that can kind of carry all of those, what I would call role players. They kind of roll them all in.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what lineup you have, right? Manny Machado's going to fit in it. So
that's, yeah.
And he,
it just
he,
looks sexier if it were in a place, you know, like Boston or something.
Yeah, or Arizona.
oh, boy, would it.
But, I mean, this would have been – everyone listening is probably happy that didn't happen, because this would have been the 3 hours of Manny Machado going to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, boy. So, it would have been super obnoxious.
I mean, not that we're not already obnoxious, but it would have been on steroids like yeah. Ryan Braun.
Bigger so, turnout, yeah.
Yeah, I mean
– we'd have been receiving some Josh Hader tweets.
People get that mad.
People, they might. Know. People get that yeah. mad about us sometimes. Sometimes people just like to
they
be
do.
Complete
They're
a-holes.
Really dumb. Yeah. At least they have 7 followers. Yep. So a bunch of people know about it. Yeah, I mean, Manny Machado going to LA definitely helps them. It depresses us a lot because, you know, this division is just so close, by the way. And that is the one, you know, that's the move that puts them over the top. Now it has to work out. We've seen plenty of teams trade for huge names and, you know, they miss the playoffs and it just doesn't work out or whatever. But the Dodgers are, you know, half a game up on the D-backs. The Rockies are 2.5 behind and the Giants are 4.5 behind. It's a really tight race right now. The Cubs have 56 wins. Milwaukee's got 55 wins. The East in the NL is also very tight. I think like every, let me look. The Central, Cleveland's up 8 games on Minnesota, and Houston's up 5 games on Seattle, and Boston's up 5.5 on the Yankees. So the NL, really, a lot of races. And adding Manny Machado, one of the best hitters from the AL coming over, is definitely going to help them a lot. And we talked about this a little bit on the baseball. I don't know that he is going to, as far as fantasy goes, increase his production. You'd think he moves from Baltimore and he goes to LA in a better lineup, but Baltimore had the better park, had the pitchers he knew, and he was already crushing it in Baltimore. Now he's off to a really good start here, but I don't know about Manny Machado for the rest of the year on your fantasy team. I don't think I would sell him, but I don't think that I'm going to overpay. Like, his value doesn't go up at all, right?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, I kind of questioned. I mean, there was like the two-sided part where there's a lot of beneficial places he could be hitting, like Arizona and Colorado. There's a few pitcher-friendly parks like San Francisco and San Diego. But, you know, nighttime, the ball's going to travel a little bit less in L.A. So there's some things to say that it could potentially come down. There's also a lot of weird attention. You're learning new teams. There's a lot of factors that kind of go outside of baseball. I'm into the idea of entertaining trade thoughts if you owned Manny Machado, because there's also like there's this internal buzz because he just got traded, went to a new team.
Right.
He also was successful in his first run.
Yes.
I would put him out there because I'd be curious where it goes.
He has a huge first week and you can get something, you know, a big return back. Maybe it's a piece that you're missing plus someone in his neighborhood, you know, within the same first or second round value. I think I could pull the trigger on that.
Something I'm curious about, because I'm looking at this, and I have this article up here from MLB Trade Rumors, the top 75 MLB trade candidates for the All-Star break. That's quite a list of names. And we've already had a couple trades that have gone down. Right after the Manny Machado one, we had the Francisco Mejia to the St. Louis, or to the St. Louis, to the San Diego Padres, and Brad Hand going over to Cleveland. And then the deal being finalized with Familia going to the A's. That deal is going out there. So you got a couple relief pitchers going on. I wonder, do you think, cause wasn't there a trade before Manny? I'm completely blanking on this. Wasn't there kind of like a big name that was traded a little bit earlier this year?
Yeah. Why can't I remember it either? It was John Jay. John Jay was moved.
Nah, it's definitely not John Jay. Why can't I
come
think
on,
of what
come
it was?
On, John Jay.
I don't know. Do you think the best trades have already happened? Like, I'm saying, like, do you think it's going to be a disappointing trade deadline? Because I look at the list of guys that show up on this list, and I'm actually looking for a few that I'm not seeing, which is surprising. But on this article here, you've got Zach Britton is at number 3 most likely to be traded. They've got Asdrubal Cabrera. That's boring. Guys like J.A. Happ. Let's see, Mike Moustakas at 11. He's, I think, a lot more relevant if he were to be traded. I mean, he puts Jacob deGrom at 17. What is the I wonder if it's the reason behind it. Is it most
because
likely?
I think that's because Jacob deGrom is probably not getting traded. Because the Mets have already said him and Syndergaard probably aren't going to be moved this offseason. So I think that's kind of where we're at as far as
so maybe
goes.
These are being numbered by likelihood.
Right, right.
But then you've got like Dozier at 19, which seems a likely one. So what I'm asking is, do you think we are going to have an influx of trades that are going to be exciting, which I don't know if like Dozier and Moustakas are kind of like likely ones, but do you think we could be surprised? Like if Jacob deGrom were traded, that is going to light everybody up. Everyone's going to be like, oh, this trade is crazy. That will get everybody going up. I don't think Mike Moustakas is going to do that. I wonder if the best is behind us, because I feel like we're always chasing the trade deadlines. And I just don't know. Like, though there does, you did rattle off, it does seem like a lot of teams might be buyers right now. The A's right. are buying. What the hell?
And yeah, and everybody talked about that. Like, is it going to be surprising that the A's are going to be buyers for the first time ever and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, dude. I mean, we're going to see a lot of teams. And this is what the added wild card does for the trade deadline. It makes more teams think that they're in it and they can possibly get a playoff spot. And in baseball, you know, those playoff spots for a lot of those teams are precious. You know, when was the last time I'm trying to think here, like when was the last time Oakland was in the playoffs? I guess it was just a couple years ago. I'm trying to think, you know, teams just don't make the playoffs all the time.
Moneyball.
Yeah, right. Miami. When was the last time the Marlins have only made the postseason twice and what's the World Series, both times they were in it.
What?
I didn't realize that the other day.
Those percentages. Okay. When do you think the Marlins make the playoffs again?
Oh.
Well, okay. Better question. Will you be alive or no. Before the Marlins make the
I'll
next
be
playoff?
In the dirt. I'll be taking a dirt nap for the Miami Marlins are back in the playoffs. Now I'll have stroked out or heart attack or something by then.
Could my child be playing for the Marlins at that time? Is that how long it's going to take?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
He's a lefty, right?
He's a lefty. Yeah, it's so funny. We're just at his basketball practice. He's the only lefty too, and he's the star defender on the team.
Love it.
Doesn't like to shoot. He actually is playing a little point guard, and he I'm like, why don't you shoot? And he's like, because I got to pass to my teammates. And I'm like, ooh, you're a point guard. But he's a lefty, and we got to get that baseball going. So
get that baseball in his hand. That's right.
That's right. He has a sharp lefty there. So I worry about just kind of the I just worry about the trade deadline overall. Not that there's anything to worry about, I suppose. But it's just I feel like we get ourselves worked up here. But, you know, with the advent of international.
Well, you always like. You always wait for the big move to happen.
But the big one that you don't see coming. Like, we knew Manny Machado was going to get traded. We know Mike Moustakas is getting traded.
Like the Randy Johnson trade.
Yeah, like that. When like that Jacob happened. DeGrom. If Jacob DeGrom were to get traded to, let's say, the Yankees, and the Yankees were, the Yankees would have to unload. They'd probably have to trade, like, Gleyber Torres. And they'd probably have to be, like, Gleyber Torres and Justice Sheffield. Maybe I don't know. I mean, honestly, I can't. Clint Frazier, you know, it'd have to be just a package we couldn't even fathom. And that's where you get kind of lit up about the trade deadline. There's a lot of stuff, like you said, the wild card. You've got slot bonuses that can be traded, compensation picks, though there are no current compensation picks that can be traded because that hasn't been decided yet. But, you know, there's a lot more trade assets that exist out there. I wonder if we're going to be surprised.
I think there will be a surprising move at the deadline, but I don't think it'll be as big as a Syndergaard or a DeGrom.
DeGrom gets traded?
No, I don't think it's going to be in that neighborhood. I think it's just going to be someone that hasn't been really talked about.
AJ Pollock? Moved.
Yeah, something like that. You know what I mean? Like you the other day mentioned that teams are kicking around and it hasn't been really talked about that much. I haven't seen it anywhere, but teams are kicking around Carlos Martinez. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that type of a name somewhere in the Carlos Martinez neighborhood, we'll see someone of his ilk moved. And
well, Jose Martinez, by the way, is one. Who's the new interim manager? I keep forgetting. What's his name?
I forgot too.
So, well, he's not playing Jose Martinez. He's benched. He keeps benching him every single night.
Yeah.
Guy doesn't play anymore. And now they're talking. Actually, let's
see
what happened
on Friday. Why not flip him then? Right. Why not move him?
Yeah. Friday. This is pretty fascinating, though, too, dude. I'm looking here. This was because Friday, by the way, Matt Carpenter, insane, insane night. 5 for 5 with 7 RBIs, 2 homers, and 4 runs.
Jesus.
In that game, the team scored 18 runs. Jose Martinez didn't come in once. Garcia, Bader, Munoz, Pena, all guys that came in to pinch hit. Jose Martinez didn't come in one time. He didn't even replace Matt Carpenter.
You know who's getting, because he still hasn't come back to play, who's getting kind of left off of the list of tradable assets is Josh Donaldson. And from the beginning of the season, we've talked about Josh Donaldson winding up getting moved. And you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago on the ITL podcast about, you know, Donaldson has to come back and play. And he just hasn't come back to play. And you think it's going to be, I mean, we're running up on it here. He's got 10 days.
Yeah.
He's got to play within the next 10 days to get moved.
Now, but if you remember, though, MLB is sneaky. They could throw, they've got the waiver stuff. I'll bet you they're not going nuts about it, because if they put Josh Donaldson on waiver, well, how many years is Donaldson a free agent? I think he is a free agent. Never mind. You're not going to put him on waivers because he's going to become
a free
agent.
Someone will snap him up.
He does not qualify for that. Now that I just worked through that, they got to make something happen. And the Phillies are the ones that I think are guys that could sneak in on a trade like that. Like Dozier to the Brewers, that seems likely. I think Donaldson to Philly would be one. Though I know, you know, in your back of your brain, you're like, please, Diamondbacks, get Josh Donaldson, because nobody is worse than Jake Lamb.
I mean, Jake Lamb has been fairly terrible this season. So, but I don't want Josh. I mean, unless it's, you know, we're giving up, hey, here's
JD Martinez, you know, deal again.
Yeah, exactly. We're giving up a couple pieces of trash, you know, some filler for your system. Maybe one of these three pieces of garbage works out. Maybe you can recycle these three straws. You know what I mean? If that's what we're giving up to get him, then fine.
Way to say how you feel about Josh.
I'm just saying, Josh Donaldson's already been hurt. You have him for 1 year. I don't want to give up anything for Josh Donaldson. And I don't think that...
Who's more injured?
Maybe he doesn't get moved because of that.
Who's more injured? Well, they have to move him, though. They're not going to... Unless they feel they could really re-sign him. I just don't see it. Who's more injured, though? Donaldson or Cespedes?
Ooh. Well, Cespedes is playing right now.
I'm seeing something. He was... Cespedes was asked if he could get through the season. He shrugged and said he didn't know. That's a quote. Cespedes says the cause of his medical issues is a calcification in both heels. He says the only way to fix the issue is surgery. He's considering it for the off season.
God.
That's
You know what? I'll just go with the dude that's actually playing right now. And he's actually playing right now. So I'd have to go with him.
Is he? Is he really Bogman?
Hit a homer yesterday.
Yes, I suppose he did. All right, well, we're going to be talking about some fantasy football, a little bit of baseball coverage from Manny Wood and the Josh Hader tweet scandal. But we're going to talk about some fantasy football. Bogman's got a couple more articles. We just a little bit ago talked about the ESPN staff sleepers and bust. Well, there's some other good ones that are floating out there. We'll have to decide where we want to go. We've got surprising pro football focused projections,
dark horse
fantasy leaders. Maybe those are the two we'll focus on. So don't go anywhere. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. This is In This League. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In This League.
Find us at the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast over on iTunes, iHeart. Tune in all the places you can listen to this show. But we have got many, many more shows that you would enjoy. InThisLeague.com. It'll tell you all the information, and our Twitters is at the Welsh and Bogman Sports. Hey, we're giving away more World Series tickets on FNTSY Sports Radio Network. This time, it's to the winner of free DFS baseball contests. The contests are sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. Because for many patients, bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, which is nearly 14,000 each year, they got to rely on a stranger to step up and donate. But you can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets by playing free daily fantasy baseball. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and someone's ticket to life. It's pretty awesome. Go make sure you do that. Help out where you can, my friends. All right.
I still want to do that because it's a great cause. But now that the World Series is going to be in L.A., it depresses me.
Yeah. Oh, you've already locked it down. The Dodgers, the Warriors now? All the championships going to just be played in California?
God, that sucks, doesn't it? I hope not. Lakers? I got to be wrong.
LeBron? You know, LeBron to the Lakers? Dodgers?
Who cares?
No? Well, we got the Warriors.
I mean, like, the LeBron thing is a huge move. But, I mean, they're not going to, you know. LA is not going to win anything this year. They could get the highest possible outcome is Western Conference Finals. And
I'm one of those guys.
Happen to other teams.
I'm one of those guys, and everyone that knows me about this. But like, I'm one of those guys. You know, you win the lottery, and he was like $100 million. You'd be like, well, it's like $60 million after taxes. Like, like living in. I'm so shocked at how many people want to be in California. I'm from California. I was born in California. I lived there, not now half my life, but you know, I lived there for like 12 or 13 years. Love it. It's beautiful, but just what you pay in taxes and real estate, I suppose if you're making millions and millions and millions of dollars, it's fine. It's all relative, but I'm just shocked when there are places like stupid Texas and Florida where there's no state income, or you get places like Arizona, all these other beautiful places, and Arizona's just cheaper in general, that how people flock to California. But that's what
you're
it's about.
Such an old man.
But it's like, well, I guess what it is. Well, because I also live on the, I always live on the outskirts of places. Like I'll go live somewhere, we live in Phoenix, but I live on the outskirts of Phoenix in a really kind of nice area. That is like in a little encapsulated nice area, but because it's far out, it's like cheaper. Like where in Scottsdale, what I would be paying for this house would be triple what I would be paying for it. But that's just
you're paying what I pay for my one bedroom apartment in a nice house.
It's
great.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Everyone flocks, but you know, like I said, New York,
well,
California,
it's
things
San
are going
Diego.
On.
Like if I'm living somewhere California, it's San Diego.
No, it's
and, and. The people flock there because the weather's great always. Like it's just always like, you know, a comedian had that joke. It's like the easiest job in the world is weatherman in San Diego. What's going to be like today, Bob? It's going to be nice.
It's going to be nice. No, you know, you're right about that, because if given the opportunity, I would 100% move. Like if I won like the lottery, I'd be off to San Diego. I'd be taking one of those homes on the beach. That's where we go for our trips. It's like the best place in the world. So, okay, you're right. I'm going to pay the taxes. I'm going to deal with it. And live a happy life like all the rest of those guys. All right, we're talking fantasy football, and Bogman pulled this up. We're just kind of looking at some articles around. We just talked a segment or two ago. We talked about the ESPN sleeper article. This one is interesting because it is pro football focus, and they're surprising projections. So go check out the article. We're not going to be citing the words in the article, so you might want to read all of this breakdown.
Walton Sperlin wrote it.
Who?
Walton Sperlin.
Walton Sperlin. So go check that out. Pro Football Focus. It's from July 18th. You can check it out. Surprising projections from the PFF Fantasy Playbook and what they mean. Now, we are promoting that, so go check them out. But we are going to talk about the players that show up on this list. Do you want to talk about the quarterback that's on here or go straight to the running back?
No. I think the quarterback kind of has a big... Yeah, there's trickle downs, and whenever you have these projections, they're trickle downs. Now, personally, I'm not a big projections person, but
you hate projections.
I don't like them. They just don't. Like, how do you know? Where's your crystal ball? Like, what are your projections?
Well, they use math though. But that way, I mean, to be fair, that's also like someone being like, "Oh, I ran these calculations, and this is this scientific fact." And you're like, "Well, how do you know?" You're like, "Well,
because
it's science."
Absolutely not. No, it's not. It's not anything like that. Because if it's a scientific fact, it's a scientific fact.
Well, but it's.
I tell you what, if all of these projections come within 20 of whatever they're saying, I would be very, very surprised.
Do the truffle shuffle.
You just, no, I won't ever do that.
If so all of them, but you invent all of them come within 20.
Nope. Okay. So, yeah, I'll do the truffle shuffle when you buy me a house in San Diego on the beach. So, right. But
I mean, if you did the truffle shuffle, we might have a shot. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, money first, you know, mama didn't raise no fool. So, but projections to me, it's just like, you know, they're one of two things. They're either a weird algorithm that someone has made and they don't want to give up their algorithm, and I understand because that's what makes them their thing, whatever. Or they're, you know, people are just going to take averages. Well, he was close to this last year, blah, blah, blah. I don't like flat out projections. I like ceiling and floor.
Well, like, and here's also, like. Yeah, and I would say, because I'm fine with projections, because I think, you know, the people that tout projections usually have created a formula that works, and they've got a track record and a look back to you know, get them in the range where they're like, yeah, this, there's an accuracy to it. Here's what I don't like, though. I don't like when, I don't name names specifically, you know, like Mike Clay or anything from ESPN, but like when guys will run projections and then you'll tweet out and they'll be like, I have this guy projected at 43 yards and 468 yards this, or, you know, 43 catches and 486 yards this year. That when you get to this granular level, I do think when you start to get granular, you're kind of like, you're creating, as our good friend Chris Harris would say, you're creating a crutch argument to yourself. You're crutching yourself. That's how I'm going to say it. I like that it's a blueprint. It gets you in the general vicinity. You know what? It's hit Google Maps. It tells you some cross streets, and then you make your way. You don't need every – when people take the projections and they spit out – because we've heard this before to even people we've worked with, and it drives me nuts where they're like – you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, how did that happen? I don't know, man. It's what the projections spit out. What are you talking about? Like, don't say it's what the projections spit out, so that's what you think. I like the idea that your projections have built you a blueprint in creating your ranks, and take the human element of your own study. But there are some people that are comfortable enough with their projections to go with it. You and I are not necessarily those guys.
And look, there's a lot of players where you can just say, hey, look, this is what they've done recently. Not much has changed. Their role hasn't changed. So if they're within what they had last year, that's kind of what I'm going to put them at. But there are plenty of other spots where a role has completely changed. How can you possibly know what Robbie Anderson is going to have this year, right? Like, he's got either Josh McCown or Sam Darnold. You know, I mean, if Josh McCown plays a whole year, it's probably going to be something close to what he had last year. If Sam Darnold plays this year, it's a wild card. You just have no clue how Sam Darnold's going to work in the system, how good he's going to be. And it's the same thing for the Browns players. How many games is Tyrod Taylor going to play?
Yeah.
And is Baker Mayfield going to come in? And we know that the ball is going to get slung around way more if Baker Mayfield is in there than it would if Tyrod Taylor is in there. So there's just so many variations in players. You know, if it's kind of basic, I get it.
Like I said, it's a roadmap. You should treat these things as roadmaps, because at the same time also, you can't just be like, yeah, I like this guy, but because this injury could happen, I'm going to do this. Like, that's not
right.
necessarily
well,
the
floor on every single player's injury. Right.
Yeah.
You can't say that. Like, if a guy is injury prone, if he has missed a bunch of games in his career, like Julian Edelman, fine. You can tag that injury prone. Because on the other side of that, you can't just say, well, all of them get hurt.
Yeah.
Well, some of them do get hurt more than others.
Yeah. And maybe you can build that in. So let's talk about this then. The first one up here, it's a quarterback projection on Matthew Stafford. And they have what they're getting at here is they project him at 583 pass attempts. And why that's important is because they're
none of the running backs work.
It's a what?
None of the running backs work. If he's throwing the ball 583 times again, it means that this, you know, running Kerryon Johnson and running LeGarrette Blount just is not going to work, and he's going to have to do exactly what he's been doing recently.
Now,
right?
See, I'm reading. No, this is the article reads a different way. What it's saying is this is a drop off. He has had a steady decline in pass attempts.
565 last year. That'd be more than last year.
Yeah, but he went from 594, 592, 602 in 2004, 634, 727 in 2012, and 663 in 2011. So what the article talks about is how this year they made a concerted effort to bring in more offensive linemen that would improve the run game. as well. They kind of go through what they did with the amount of kind of heavy backs, you know, like Garrett Blunt, Kerryon Johnson, they bring on there. So what they say is, in words here, but there's two parts I think you'll find it interesting. It says
he had the fourth most passing attempts last year at 565, and that would be more.
Yeah.
583 is more.
Yeah, no, it is. But they say, what it says in here, the writing is on the wall that the Lions are committed to establish a running game and lessen the amount of times that Stafford has to throw the ball. But in the article as well, I think you'll appreciate this. What is this? Walton, we said? Walton,
yeah,
Sperling,
whatever. Mm-hmm, yep.
He says, I'm not sure I buy 283 attempts for 2018, but if you believe the projections, the ball will still be there for Tate and Jones, because it says, as Stafford attempted 565, which was 29 fewer than 2016. They're building a case to say that Matthew Stafford is a little bit on of a downturn, and they are going to try to establish a run, which I do think, if you look at acquisitions of Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount, that does say that they've made a concerted effort to try to get ball carriers that at least can push the line a little bit. Amir Abdullah did not do that. If you have Riddick, Blunt, and Kerryon Johnson, that does show that they want to probably dial it down a little bit. Here would be my thing, and here's what's important about this. Matthew Stafford just doesn't have a cost. He's not going seven. He's not going six. What he is he's people's like favorite late round quarterback, him and Phillip Rivers. Okay, what if he was lower than last year? What if he has 525 pass attempts? How much lower does that make his value go when he's going as the 11th quarterback, let's say? And how much lower does that make him from guys that are going 14 and 15? If he's still getting those pass attempts in, he's got good receivers, and maybe the running backs are putting them in better situations. I'm not a huge Matthew Stafford guy, but what I do is I look at this and I see, to me, Matthew Stafford has always been the guy where I say, okay, I think Stafford is not as exciting as people make him out to be, but he's kind of like Golden Tate. He's a floor quarterback. I just don't think his ceiling is quite as high, but you shouldn't be paying for him to be a top five quarterback. That's kind of the story I think they're building, and I actually kind of buy it.
You know what's funny is I see this. I'm kind of surprised at the logic of this, because
the article, surprising,
fourth most passing attempts last year. He's going to have more, and he had the fourth most touchdowns, passing touchdowns last season at 29. Wilson had 34, Wentz had 33, and Tom Brady had 32. So he had the fourth most passing touchdowns and the fourth most pass attempts. The defense didn't change a lot. The one thing that did change, and this is why I don't like projections, I like being able to look at the situation and know, they have two gigantic goal line backs now. They have LeGarrette Blount and they have Kerryon Johnson, who are both big physical running backs. So my thing to look with Matt Stafford, instead of projecting his numbers, would be maybe these touchdowns come down because they actually have dudes that can run between the tackles this year.
I agree.
So that would be my thing to look at.
I agree. And what that comes down to me, at least if I look at anything, it's like, I don't look at the number 583 pass attempts. That doesn't mean anything to me. And it should be pointed out, it kind of confused you. You were like, hey, look, I think they're saying he's still going to be good. And that's not the story that they're telling. What the story of the projection could tell you in here is, hey, listen, he still got the floor, but he doesn't have the ceiling that he usually does, but he's still a value. Just maybe his production isn't quite what it is before. What everyone in the late quarterback strategy wants to do is they want to say, well, I'm going to take a quarterback at 14 that's going to finish top five. That's not going to always happen. Like, Phillip Rivers is always good. This means he's going to finish top five. What if we get guys healthy this year? You know, what if Andrew Luck comes back through? You might draft Matthew Stafford, and he might be the 10th best quarterback, and you might take him at 11. So that's what you've got to know what you're getting into. And to me, it builds the bigger question of, you know, is it worthy taking the late round quarterback? You know, everyone's in on that strategy. It's the most popular strategy right now, is taking late round quarterbacks. Is the value of the guy who finishes 10th going to be super close to the quarterback that finishes third, like it usually is? Maybe it's a little bit less, but Matthew Stafford's still there. I want to talk about one more, and then we'll do the important ones on the break. This one, like that one, is a little confusing. They have Kareem Hunt, and their surprising projection, they say everything. And why
that's
confusing is because I don't know what story they're trying to tell. Their projections have him losing carries, have him down to 232 carries, because they say he's bad at pass protection. They've still got Spencer Ware, who's now healthy. Kerwin and Damian Williams are there. But they have his receptions going up a little bit, and their end sentence kind of says, like, yeah, he might lose a few carries, and that value's there, but overall, he's not going to lose any workload.
So explain to me how, in the breath of one air, you say he's bad at pass protection, but he's going to have more receptions when you brought in guys, it looks like, for pass protection. With Damian Williams
they,
and
they project
Kerwin
him
Williams.
More. I mean, it's only one more reception, but he caught 53 last year.
He caught 53 last year.
They're projecting 54 this year. They're projecting 54. And this is it's a great point. This is wild. They're projecting him 40 less carries and telling us that he's going to be on the field less because of pass protection, yet he's going to catch more balls than last year. That is a projections, man. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Maybe the point would be that the defense is going to get worse. They have to play more catch up like that. That would be the rationale there, I guess. But if you're bringing, you have three guys you brought in.
Yeah.
Can be better in pass protection.
They say that
Spencer Ware is getting a ton of run. Spencer Ware is like probably number one handcuff right now.
Well, we've talked about it. And they say the Williams duo catching 30 balls last year. All right, don't go anywhere. We got another segment. We're going to talk more about this. The final segment, it's more fantasy football talk on these surprising projections within this league. Don't go anywhere.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back in this league. Hey, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, it's super annoying, by the way, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. If you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches. No experts to compete against. Just you and the prop bet that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. By the way, an interesting thing to follow back up on earlier in the show, we asked a poll question over at Is It the Welsh? Not even a poll question, actually. It just, I said, who are the top five most unlikable NFL players? And we spent a whole segment on it. And yeah, not the Garoppolo poll. And we had, you know, Perfect and a whole bunch of guys on there. But it was centered around how unlikable Ezekiel Elliott was. I thought this was interesting because Moyes quote tweeted me here. His top three, he had Winston, who showed up as number two on our list, immature as hell, and just unliked by him. Perfect was number two. But number one, he said, Zeke, seeing the way he acted at the NFFC, I was there. So Moyes was there, got the first hand account. There we go. First hand account of what a D-bag Ezekiel Elliott was at NFFC. And I told you, that is a proof in point right there. That guy is becoming increasingly more unlikable. So,
yep, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise. I would like to see some projections on how much of a D-bag Zeke Elliott is.
It's going to be very high. Well. Projections are going to come in very high. by the way, if you guys want, just want to remind everybody, as football season is ramping up, make sure to go check us out, not only at InThisLeague.com, but go to Patreon.com/ITL Army. Join up. We're doing giveaways for our ITL Army members. It's our insider program where we have got ranks, chats, secret shows. We've also got GroupMe rooms where not only can you have kind of like access to Bogman and myself, but like a lot of other ITL Army members where you're going to meet new friends, you can build leagues, plus you can bounce questions off of everybody and everyone is interacting. We've got a football room, baseball, basketball, and a whole bunch of other side rooms from video games to music to booze to whiskey, all that type of stuff, even collectors for card collecting and autographs and stuff. It's a really cool thing, I think, that we put together. And if you guys want to join up, check it out, patreon.com/ITL Army. And we got a couple giveaways going on. We're giving away a watch, giving away a ring, and giving away dog tags, all for your fantasy league. So go check it out, patreon.com/ITL Army. All right, we're going to finish up this article over at Pro Football Focus by Walton Sperlin. What a name.
And that's a pretty badass name.
It's a pretty good name. And what it is it's talking about the Pro Football Focus. We're going to give them plugs since we're talking about their article. Their Pro Football Focus fantasy playbook. And it's talking about the projections that they spit out. We've already kind of had our little diatribe about, you know, projections in general. And the first two we talked about were weird, and I don't know. I don't want to get into I don't want to like slam anything, but I just didn't like really how it was put together or how the projections labeled anything, because I don't think there was a story that was given to us that made much sense. But this next one, this is one that I think is a very, very interesting conversation. So on their projections, and as written here, the surprising projection is Kenyon Drake with 204 carries. Now, what's important about that is 204 carries would essentially make him the no-brainer workhorse, like top RB for the Miami Dolphins, which is nothing that anyone expects. And I'm almost shocked that projection.
Some people expect it.
Yeah, like, but I'm shocked that a projection would spit out that many carries when Frank Gore, and they drafted Kalen Ballage. That actually is a little bit surprising, especially Frank Gore from a mathematical projection standpoint. Like, how is the math working out that Frank Gore isn't going to eat into his carries? Tell me.
I mean, I think that actually is kind of a projection with Frank Gore eating into his carries. While he would have 200 and he would have the most, you know, this that would put him in line with guys from last year. This would be, he would have the 23rd and 24th, somewhere in that neighborhood, 25th most carries, because guys had that many last season. Marshawn Lynch had 207. Isaiah Crowell had 206, and Jonathan Stewart had 198. So that would be like, he wouldn't be among the top 15 running backs, but it would clearly give him the edge over Frank Gore and Kalen Ballage. So, I mean, because your number one as far as attempts went last year would be Le'Veon Bell, 321. And if you're talking about someone else, that's just not Le'Veon Bell because he has so many carries. McCoy had 287. Gordon had 284.
Well, they
and
say,
Gurley had 279.
They say 204 carries would be a top 20 total for 2017.
Well, it wouldn't have been for 2017.
No, that's what it says.
It would be because when I'm looking at my stats and I have the college, like I have them italicized, so I know that they're college carries. But like, you know, Penny had 289, Ronald Jones had 261.
Yeah, you can't
count
those
in there.
So I have
a couple guys. So it would be right around 20.
Yeah, and it says he would be a top 20 in carries for 2017. Here's something I don't get down with. And most of the time I totally understand it. But explain this to me. Gore isn't what he used to be by any stretch of the imagination, but he is coming off a season in which he had 261 carries. Those two statements don't work together. You can't tell me, Gore isn't who he used to be when he just got 260 carries and they signed him over to Miami. It's not meaning he's going to get 260 carries, but how exactly is a guy that got 260 carries not going to eat in to the, how many total, can we look, how many total carries did the Miami Dolphins have last year? Total.
Yeah, I can look that up.
Yeah,
so
please look that
up. I know because I did this before. That they only had four rushing touchdowns for the entire season last year because Jay Cutler was a quarterback.
I have it right here. I'm looking at it. Sorry, I'm looking at it right here. It says the team had a total of 360 carries overall. Now, I don't know if that's counting.
That's counting everybody. That's counting your reverses. That's counting first, second string running backs, third string running backs, quarterback rushes,
okay,
all that.
So let's take out Tannehill likes to run it a little bit. So how many carries has Tannehill had in an average season?
Let's add 20 to whatever that total is.
Okay,
so 20 to 30.
So for his carries?
For his carries, right.
Okay, so and okay, so I mean, you take off 30 there, so that's 330. You take off maybe some reverses, little another 10, that's going to be 320. So you've got 320 carries to work with, theoretically, with Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, and Kalen Ballage. I think when you look at that scenario, I mean, I think Frank Gore's a 150 carry guy on this team this year. And that would put, or maybe if you want to dumb it down a little bit, 125? Okay, if you give Kenyon Drake 150, are you telling me that Kalen Ballage can't get like 60 carries this year? 70 carries?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like this is why I hate this situation. And when we were talking about the sleepers from the ESPN article earlier, Kenyon Drake is easily my guy. Like a lot of people
bust,
like,
you mean though?
For bust, yeah, for sleepers, a bust. Yeah, he was my guy as a bust because he has, like, people are like, his yards per carry were down with the Colts. Did we not mention that the Colts had, like, the worst offensive line in football? They also lost Andrew Luck, and Jacoby Brissett was their best quarterback. And the defense was terrible, so they had to play catch-up a lot. So, you know, a lot of those were, you know, a lot of his good rushes were taken away because they had to pass at the end of the game. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Frank Gore is a top 10 quarterback or running back. I'm not going to say that he is even a top 20 running back, but he is definitely a guy, like the Welsh said, that can eat into a running back situation of a young dude like Kenyon Drake. And, you know, they also drafted Kalen Ballage. We know he's going to get something. I don't know if it's going to be rush attempts. Maybe it's more catches. Maybe they want him in space a little bit more to play up some of that speed from the running back position. But this situation to me, and this one is one of the most divided as far as running back situations are for this season. I'm going to try to avoid it at all costs. The guy I'm taking is Frank Gore because he's super cheap. You can get him in the last three rounds in most drafts, and there is a potential for that dude to carry the ball 200 times.
Yeah, I also look at this like even if you wanted to say, okay, they because I think the first is the Dolphins ran the ball less than any team in the NFL last year, 360. So if you want to say Tannehill, Gore are there, maybe it jumps up. Let's call it 400, all right? If you call it 400 and now you take away, you know, some of the Tannehill runs, some of the reverses and stuff, and now
is that 200, 100, 100? Like, is that how you'd want to break it up if it's 400?
No, but what I'm saying is, well, I'm saying like, okay, let's say we're at 400. Let's take away the Tannehill and the reverses. That's another 40. So now we're back to that 360. I honestly think we could be a 150, 150 for Drake and Gore, and then Kalen Ballage is another 60. That sounds
right.
Very, very logical to how the team is talking about the running back situation. And Frank Gore is a dude. Now, if it pairs out a little bit more, maybe Drake gets up to the 180 mark. I think what we're doing is we're starting to split hairs here, and people are trying to find the justification with Kenyon Drake because it's like, oh, well, he's not blocked because JHI, blah, 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 blah. I don't buy it. The team has openly been in defense of Frank Gore. There's a reason you bring in a 260 carry guy, not to come in and get 80 carries. He's going to get his carries. It doesn't mean it means both ways. This is the problem with him, and this is why I want to avoid him. Because there's too much head spinning with him. Because, A, if he gets 200 carries, it doesn't mean those are quality 200 carries. He could be vultured from touchdowns. It could be very minimal for the cost that you're paying. Where dude's going like the fourth round. But at the same time, 160 carries doesn't mean he's going to be worthless. He could score longer
right.
touchdowns. He could be more effective. It goes
just
both
means
ways.
He's not a fourth round pick.
I don't think his talent doesn't jump out to me like a guy like a Derrick Henry. He's not worth it to me. There's too many question marks. There's too many negatives. That offense is also not very good. I want no part of Kenyon Drake. So I see a surprising projection of 200. It means nothing to me, and it's not going to change my mind. Now,
what's funny to me is when you look at these running back situations, like Drake is going off at 18, and there are some guys in here where I'm like, I don't know if I'd take that guy over Drake. Like Penny. Maybe. Alex Collins, probably not. Geis, I would. Ajayi, I would. Ronald Jones, I would. Sonny Michel, I would. You know, those guys are easy. So he drops down to 22 or something. It's just not a four.
I hate doing all that. This one is very interesting because we've had a little joke about Evan Engram, but these projections, as far as their surprising projections go, they have Evan Engram having more targets than he had last year at 119 targets. This is with Odell Beckham there. This is with Saquon Barkley coming in, Shepard stepping into a little bit bigger role, and Evan Engram, they're projecting to have more targets than last year, and I think you're pretty firmly going to be against this.
I don't understand how it could happen, right? Because Odell Beckham played four games last year, and he had 41 targets. Evan Engram led by a lot. He had 115 targets. The next highest behind him was Sterling Shepard. The Giants lost like every game. Remember, they picked second in the draft. So they were very, very bad last season. And I just, so they had to play catch up a lot. They had to pass the ball a lot. How the hell are we going to have more targets for Evan Engram? I don't understand how that could happen. And maybe I'm just completely missing something here. But, Eli Manning had 571 passing attempts. That I think that was third in the NFL last year. So third or fourth, somewhere around that. Or no, Stafford was fourth, and he had what, 563 last year?
Did we look? Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was 563.
So Eli Manning had the third most passing attempts last season. And how is that going to go up for Evan Engram and Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard? Right? Is Sterling Shepard just going to be the guy that falls off?
Well,
is Odell going to fall off?
And you know, I'm firmly on team Sterling Shepard this year.
Right, exactly. So, he also only caught 55% of his targets. Sterling Shepard caught 70% of his targets. Odell Beckham last year was a 61% target guy. So I just don't understand how we could go for more targets to a guy that only caught the ball at a 55% clip. And look, I love Evan Engram. He's a very, very good tight end. He still should be tight end four or five on your list. But I think he's going too high in drafts. And I just don't understand where this target projection is coming from.
Yeah, it's an interesting
I don't
one.
Get it.
All right. Here's the last one so we can get it in. And again, go check out this article on Pro Football Focus. You can check it out from July 18th, I believe. And the last one is Josh Gordon. And what the surprising projection is the amount of targets. They have a projection of 135 with a 15.8 yards per reception. And the reason that that's surprising on multiple ends is because Tyrod Taylor, as they note in here, again, I don't want to take all their stuff, but I think it's interesting. He's never had a single pass catcher top 96 targets, so that's interesting. The yards per carry would be, let's see, has Gordon bested? It would be really high in his active seasons. And also, when you look, I think they said 135 targets would have been top 10 last year. 135 targets would be top 10 in targets in 2017. So to add Jarvis Landry, to have not a pass-heavy quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, this, and I'm a Josh Gordon guy, but even to me, this sounds, and Duke Johnson, by the way, catches 70 balls a year. is Tyrod Taylor going to throw 600 times this year? How is this going to happen?
I mean, to me, I tell you what, though. He averaged 8.4 targets per game last season, which if you project over a 16-game season is 134.4. So that's 135 targets. But they were also losing in every single game last year. All five that he played, they were losing in because they lost every single game. So, and also I feel like they were forcing the ball to him a little bit, at the end of the year because they just didn't have many other weapons. So the thing to me, like, this has to be Baker Mayfield plays to me because of all the things that they said about Tyrod Taylor, right?
That would be a good point. Yeah, Baker would have to play a significant amount, right?
So Baker would have to play, and to me, this is almost like a Jarvis Landry injury because Jarvis Landry is the 135 target guy. He is the reception guy. And also, like you said, Duke Johnson caught 70 balls. And by the way, Carlos Hyde can catch the ball, guys. Like, he caught the ball a million times with San Francisco last year. He had like 50 catches.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Josh Gordon winds up with this many targets. I also, and this is another thing why I just don't like projections. I think that, 110 targets probably good. Yeah. So
I mean, even so, but it's but also like take into consideration what Jarvis Landry did. There's so many weapons to go around. It's a dangerous one. Projections in general are dangerous, but that's why one thing that we have always preached, Bogman has preached, I have preached, and we've been doing it for almost 5 years within this league, is we want to give you, we want to arm you with the information to make the decisions yourself. Because like that,
write your own narrative.
That diatribe I had earlier in the show where it's like, hey, at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to be just a homer to ESPN and pay attention to everything they do. You want to listen to all of it. You want to take in all the information, build your own narrative, build your own story. And my friends, that is the show. Thank you for listening. You can listen to this whole show on demand if you missed it everywhere. You can listen to it live every week and catch the In This League podcast, because don't miss a minute of the action. That is Bogman. I am the Welsh. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Peace out.
See ya.